Today is the 24th of May, 2017. It is the 28th of Iyar, Tafshin Ayin Zayin, Yom Yerushalayim. And so we pick up with towards the end of Perek Lamed, Perek Chavtes. So not really towards the end, just two things to say. Chavtes, 29. Chapter 29. So we'll just do two little pieces. Number one is in the very beginning of chapter 29. So the pasuk says, "Avizad davar sher tasal lehem lekadesh yosam l'chayin li." That this is the matter you're going to do in order to sanctify me. Lakach parachad ben bakar ve'elu shnayim tamimim. You're going to take these things in order to bring my korban. So the medrash tells us there's a medrash. I'm not even sure how this is really connected to our. I guess yeah, lakach parachad ben bakar is how the medrash starts up. So the pasuk tells us haduhu dichsiv, that there's another pasuk. This is medrash in lamed ches beis haduhu dichsiv. It also says a pasuk in Habakkuk, halo atami kedem Hashem elokei kachi lo namus. It's related to the pasuk of you shall not from the beginning of time Hashem we shall not die Hashem lo namus. So at shelo amar adam harishon, right? What exactly is the connection? Yeah, it's unclear. Okay. So, Ad Shalom Amar Adam HaRishon V'Achalas HaElan. Until Adam HaRishon came and ate from the Elan, until he ate from the Tree of Knowledge, Kachayisi Omer Shalom Yocham Min HaElan V'Lo Yamus. You were saying that he should not eat from the tree, and he's not going to die. Shemar Lo Atam Yikedem Hashem Elokai Kachi Lo Namus. As it says, and you are not from the beginning of time, O Hashem, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. So, right, until that point, El Mifnei Shebitel Tzivucha, but because he disobeyed that command, Misa Lohochia Chabrios. You brought death upon him in order to chasten the people. So that is the whole idea that there is death is because of a punishment of the sin of Adam HaRishon. Shenemar Hashem Lishpat Shem too, as the pasuk says, you have ordained judgment. Then we have another idea of that pasuk. Hatagozer v'omer kedoshim yu le'elohehem. We have another pasuk that says, you're going to be holy to Hashem. V'chein v'zeh advar sher tasel lehem l'kadish rasam. Similarly, this is the matter that you're going to do in order to sanctify them. Rabon ha'olam atamavakish nei kedoshim haser mimenu ha'maves. You desire that we are holy, take away death from us. As it says, again, that pasuk in Habakkuk, that from the beginning of time Hashem said we're not going to die. Amar lahem, eifshar, I can't, Hashem l'mishpat samto. I can't because we've already ordained this for judgment. So the Chidushi Alev, Rav Henoch Leibowitz explains, v'madnu mikan, al godel kedusha sam shel b'nei Yisrael, the sanctity of b'nei Yisrael. That Habakkuk is mentioning that Kedusha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is agreeing to him, that because of our Kedusha, because of our sanctity, therefore we shouldn't die. So, and Hashem says, you're right. Hashem ultimately says, you're right, you shouldn't. But what can I do? Adam sinned, so therefore we're going to have to imply some type of death. But in theory, there should not have to be death upon people. So Henoch then comes and extends this to the idea of building the Mishkan, and the idea, and this is really found a little bit later on, Perek Lamed Ches, in the beginning, in the very, very first pasuk of Parshas Pekudei. So there's a Sforno that makes the comment there, Eila Pekudei, and this comes to an answer that the question that you asked a little while back, what happened to the Mishkan in Shiloh, whatever happened to the Mishkan. So the pasuk tells us, Eila Pekudei Mishkan, Mishkan Hayedus. These are the reckonings of the Mishkan, Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe, Avodas Halavim Biyadi Tamar Ben Aaron HaKohen, Uvitzal Ben Ariv Ben Churl Matei Yudah, Asa Es Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Moshe. They did everything that Hashem commanded. So the Sforno comments on that, that because of these great, wonderful things that are mentioned here, that's why the Mishkan never fell to enemies. So what are these four things? He lists, and the Sforno lists four things that are mentioned in that pasuk. Number one, he says, Mishkan ha'idus, shayubo luchos ha'idus. Number one, the luchos were contained within it. And then second, asher pakad al pi Moshe, which was built by Moshe. Number three, shayisa avodas halavim biyadi tamar, that they watched all the parts about the Mishkan, and the Metzal ben Uri ben Chur ben Ateyu da'asa, and Metzal made it. So they had those four things. Number one, the Mishkan. Number two, Moshe. Number three, the Levium. And number four, Metzal was in charge. And therefore, when they completed doing this, they were able to see the Shekhinah in their actions and didn't fall to the hands of their enemies. But, says the Sforno, the Mikdash of Shlomo, the Mikdash of Shlomo was different. The Mishkan of Shlomo did ultimately fall into the hands of our enemies. What was the difference between the Mishkan of Shlomo? So it had the Luchos Ha'idus, but it was missing those other things. Who built the Mishkan of Shlomo? Who built it? Shlomo was in charge, right? Shlomo didn't go and start laying bricks. Right? Who built the Mishkan of Shlomo? So the pasuk tells us towards the beginning of Malachim, when it talks about the building of the Mishkan, that Shlomo had artisans come in from other nations in order to build the Mishkan. Mm-hmm. So it suggests the Sforno that that's why the Beis HaMikdash, that's the difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was able to withstand, it was built with Kedusha, it was built with sanctity, and therefore was never going to be destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash, which was built with foreign workers, so that was problematic. So Mivur B'Divri asks Sforno, Shatam Shemishkan Lo Nafal Bi'Aroivim Lo Nechor Av Le'Olam, was never destroyed. So where is it? It's a good question. It doesn't answer that. But because of the sanctity that was employed by Bnei Yisrael. Because of Bnei Yisrael, and he points out, the Pasuk in Habakkuk is talking about a time when they were sinning. That even a time when they were sinning, the question was still raised, well, how could Bnei Yisrael die? And Hashem says, well, what do you want from me? We have to, you know, that there's this thing called Adam, and there's this curse, and that's what's going to happen. But still, they deserved, I mean, ultimately, they deserved to live forever, and that perhaps is symbolized by the fact that the Mishkan lived forever.
So where is the Mishkan?
So where is it? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Was the Mishkan moved? I don't recall coming across a pasuk like that.
That Mishkan that's missing, so to speak, that didn't have the walls, right? But that wasn't that... stone walls that they put instead.
Yeah.
So the boards also.
Yeah.
Were
yeah. So what happened to all these things? Yeah, it's unclear.
And what happened to the luchos? Are they together with the luchos?
Which set of
luchos?
The luchos that Moshe.
Which set?
Both are together.
So the assumption, right? They're in the Aron. The Mesorah that we have is despite anything you might learn from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Is that the luchos are in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes that we assume that the Aron is still in the Beis HaMikdash, which is what gives it its sanctity.
It means it's buried somewhere on the ground.
Yeah, that we know. The Navi tells us about that Yeshaya, he saw that Shlomo HaMelech himself built in a place for the Aron to go in case of danger. Yeshaya saw that that time was coming. Hid the Aron, and that's where we assume it is. Adayom Hazeh.
Is the Mishkan there too?
So it was in the first place.
What?
It was only in the first.
Well, it was. The assumption is that it's still there, and it was there in the first and the second, but it wasn't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the second. Right? There's a Gemara that talks about that somebody once saw a rock, one of the stones on the floor that was out of place. So he moved it, then he went down, and whatever, and he didn't come up to tell about it, or he went crazy. I don't remember the exact Gemara, but there is a. The halachic assumption that we have is that it's still in that place. Right, so based on this, one has to realize, you know, the sanctity of the Jewish people, etc., that really we have the power to do a lot of things. Okay, so that is the first thing I wanted to talk about. The second thing I wanted to mention is based on the teaching of the Rav, that in the Rav Thinking Aloud, so David Holzer wrote the book, so he records the following idea, that when we get towards the end of Perek Chavtes, and we noticed, we picked up on this when we went through the Perek, all of a sudden, it starts talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It says, V'yedu ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, in Pasuk Mem Vav, Pasuk 46, V'yedu, based on this, that as we have now completed building the Mishkan, you'll know, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher utzeisi usam yeret Mitzrayim, l'shachni b'socham, ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm Hashem who took you out of the land of Egypt in order to dwell amongst you. I am Hashem, your God. Right? And that's the last Pasuk of the Perek. What's going on there? Why does all of a sudden, the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim has not been mentioned yet at all, in terms of Parshas Truma, Parshas Tetzaveh, Yaakov, Tudai, not mentioned the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim. All of a sudden here, we bring in, oh, by the way, the idea of building the Mishkan is to remember that I'm Hashem who took you out of the land of Egypt. What does it have to do with this place now? So he suggests, that David Holzer suggests that maybe, and then he goes and quotes a couple of pages from the Rav, that the Rav made in Shir and Parshas Truma, point quoted the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. This Gemara actually has a lot of relevance to today. This Gemara is used often as the argument against saying Hala on Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. I mean, some say, oh, what's there to lose? So this Gemara perhaps is what there is to lose. Maybe. Anyways, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Yehi chelki migomrei hala b'chol yom. Gemara says, if only my portion would be with those that say hal every day, I would receive olam haba. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, but there is a prohibition. The Gemara says, "Vahamar mar." We have a brisa that says, "Hakoreya hal b'chol yom harezeh mecharif u'megadif." If you say hal every day, you're one who engages in blasphemy. So, meaning you're not supposed to say hal every day. Rather, you should only say hal on what days? Anybody know how many days a year? The Gemara itself says how many days a year, right? It's 21, I think. What is it? 8 days of Hanukkah, 8 days of Hanukkah, 8 days of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. You got 16. 1 day of Pesach, right? And 1 day of Shavuos. 18 days. And Chutz Laaretz will be more days. The full Hala, right? That's what it's talking about. In fact, the Gemara, there's a different Gemara that says that I think Rava or Abaye went and showed up on in some shul someplace and on Rosh Chodesh, and they were saying Hala. And he says, "What's going on here? How could they be saying Hala? It's an issur to say Hala. This is a violation of Hala B'chol Yom." And then when they started skipping parts of it, he said, "Oh, okay. Now they're skipping parts of it, so I understand what they're doing. It's just a minug, and that's why some are." That's why Hal on Rosh Chodesh is treated a little differently than Hal the rest of the year. Some are machbid not to say a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Fine. Anyway, so the Gemara comments, so what does it mean that Yehi chelki migomri Hal b'chol yom, that my portion should be with those who say Hal every day, if you're not supposed to say Hal every day? So the Gemara says, ki kamrinan b'psuki de zimra. No, that's talking about people that say p'suki de zimra. That they p'suki Ashrei Haluk, right? All the things that we say p'suki de zimra, that's what it means. But the halal which is not supposed to be said every day, what's that? That's the halal of leaving Egypt. That's the halal that we celebrate and only do on Yantif. That's not supposed to be said every day. Okay? That's what the Gemara tells us. Yeah?
On that subject of the halal and Pesach, is there an explanation of why it's split up? I mean, when you say...
Sure.
If you say halal, you're supposed to say it through. So there's a whole big interruption.
Yeah. I spoke about that the first night of Pesach. Different cheer, really. Right. Oh, you were in Israel. You're in Israel for Pesach. Yeah, that was the first night of Pesach cheer. It has to do the Hallel on Seder night is not on that list either. Hallel is not on the list. That Hallel on Pesach night is not on the list in the Gemara of the times that we say Hallel. So there's a whole bunch of problems. You don't see, there's a din that you have to say Hallel during the day. You can't say it at night. Are you not allowed to interrupt it? I listened to a shir that he found 15 problems with saying Hallel that night. That was the... Right, yeah. So what's the answer? The answer is that it's a different halacha that probably has to do with what we call halel al hanes as opposed to halel lezecher hanes. That when we say halel on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot and Chanukah, it's to remember the miracle that happened by Mimahim Bezmanazah that happened back in those days. The halel that we say on Seder night is a halel that we say as a reaction, that we say as a that we just experienced leaving Egypt. So that behooves us to say Hallel right now, without any type of preparation, without a bracha beforehand, without anything, right? How could you not say Hallel? So I heard, actually, this is also relevant to today, I heard a story, although I'm not sure it's true, especially because I heard this person, the person who they say the story about, I heard him talk about his experiences of being in Israel on Yom Yerushalayim, the original Yom Yerushalayim, and he didn't include this story. So I don't know if it's true or not, so I won't even say who said it. But somebody was in a kibbutz on that day, the first, when the planes flew over, not the day they conquered Yerushalayim, the day that they, when the planes flew over and destroyed the Egyptian Air Force. The first day of the war, right? When the war was over already within an hour, right? So they heard this happen, right? They didn't know what it was going to be until that point. And they heard that this happened and that they were going to be saved. So he said it wasn't even an issue. Like, everyone just went to shul and said, Hallel. Like, how could you not? Right? We had just been saved. So that's the answer to that. That's probably the answer to that question. The Rav has a major piece about that. Okay, but just understanding that Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. So on one hand, you're supposed to say Hallel. On the other hand, you're not supposed to say Hallel. You're supposed to say Hallel Psuki Dezimra. You're not supposed to say Hallel Leaving. What's the difference between the two? So the Rav suggested that that the Hallel of Psuki Dezimra, what is that all about? That is about the order of the world. It is all about praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for nature, recognizing Hashem's hand in nature. That's the Hallel of Psuki Dezimra. What is the Hallel of Hallel? The Hallel of Hallel Gadol is recognizing Hashem's miracles. Right, the entire thing is Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim Beis Yaakov V'yam Ha'Ways. Right, we left Egypt and the water stood up and the water split and all these things. It's all about the miracles of Hashem. So the Rav suggests to say Hallel every day and recognize Hashem's role in the world, to recognize how Hashem does everything. Yeah, that's what it means to be a Ben Olam Haba. Ben Olam Haba recognizes every day how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is found in nature. But if we're going to walk around every day saying that we need to see miracles every day, that's a problem. To praise Hashem for the miracles, we could thank Hashem for miracles that in other times. But to praise Hashem as if miracles are happening at all time, that's not the ideal. That's not the goal. Right? The goal is not to expect miracles every day. The goal is to recognize Hashem's presence in the world every day. So that's why Hallel every day is permissible. But yet, when we have the anniversary of the miraculous things that happened in our past, so yeah, we thank Hashem for doing that, but that's not the overall goal. The overall goal is recognizing Hashem's presence in everything that we do. So David Holzer then goes on and suggests that maybe... So he says that maybe that's why the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim is invoked when Hashem talks about His Shechina. When Hashem talks about His Shechina resting within the Mishkan, so then we talk about the idea of leaving Egypt. Just as I took you out of Egypt, so too my Shechina is going to rest here, because that's a miraculous event. Right? And that's why that's specifically invoked here. So I would perhaps just add in the idea that... That the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash really served a dual purpose. On one hand, there was the constant avoda that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's how Kevesachat Haseb Avoki Kevesach Shinit Haseb Ben Harbaim that we're going to offer, which is found in this parak. Right? That they're going to offer korbanos in the morning and we're going to offer korbanos in the evening, and that is the constancy of avodas Hashem. Whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it, right? We show up to the davening 3 times a day, whether we like it or whether we don't like it. We have to recognize the consistency and the constancy of Hashem's presence. And then there's also the aspect of the Mishkan that talks about the Shechina being present. So those are two aspects of the Mishkan. So when we talk about the constant avoda that took place, we don't invoke Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when we invoke every single day. That's the constant idea of constantly worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is part of what the Beis HaMikdash represented. The other part of what the Beis HaMikdash represented, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world and the miraculous nature of the Beis HaMikdash. So that is another aspect, and that part is combined with HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking out of Egypt, recognize that Hashem is the source of the miracles and supernatural, and Hashem could do whatever He needs to in order to make sure that the Jewish people are okay. So perhaps that also relates to the idea we talked about before about leaving Har Abayis in order to go to the Kotel, right? The same idea that we, I don't know, it doesn't fit in so perfectly. All right, I'll have to figure out how that works in. But anyways, that explains the end of this parak. We're going to be Seigta Hashem, so I'm going to reside amongst you. I'm the one who took you out of Egypt. Yes, the same God who performs miracles will perform miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's not all about what the Beis HaMikdash is about. The Beis HaMikdash is also about a constant avoda and relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's stop here.